Good morning, everyone. Sorry to stop your conversation, but we'll make a start. I'd just like to welcome everybody to the service this morning. Those in the building here, as well as those around on solid ground on the screen. Also, a special welcome to any visitors we have with us this morning. You're very welcome. We pray you all feel God's presence this morning and know of his blessings this morning and also in the week ahead as we worship together today. As usual, there will be tea and coffee afterwards in solid ground. And you're more than welcome to come round for a cuppa and a chat afterwards. And if you are a visitor, just follow everybody else. They'll be going that direction. First of all, I'd just like to thank everyone who organised, helped out and attended the 24 hours of prayer here and the 12 hours of prayer in Clocky. Just hope you all felt truly blessed by taking the time just to seek God's presence in such a calming and yet such a powerful way. I've been asked to announce you'll see around the walls, there is still some literature on the walls and in the seats. So you're more than welcome to take any of the handouts with you. And as well, at the end of the service, if you want to take a bit of time and go around the walls and just, there's a mirror down here with some prayer requests on it and stuff and different things. So just take a bit of time if you want and just have a look around after the service, if you want. Also, this week has been a sad week for some and a happy week for others in that the schools have started back. So depending on whether you're a parent or a child or a student, or even if you're a teacher, it depends how you feel. And also, I'd just like to ask you just to remember all the youth in our community who are going back to school, moving schools, or starting further education. Just pray that they settle into their new roles quickly and enjoy the experience. It's the best days of your life, and believe me, it is. Yeah. We have a few announcements here just to highlight, so if you bear with me, there is a few. We've got a bit of a list, the joys of the start of the season. So everybody should have got a weekly announcement sheet, either by hard copy or by email. Basically, if you look through it, a lot of the organisations are starting now as of this week. So just, yeah, whatever is relevant to you. I've been asked to highlight a few out of this, just to bring it to your attention. Tomorrow night, there's the health and safety, fire safety, welcome team, and GDPR training. So I see a start time in this, but I don't see a finish time, but I'm sure it won't be. I'm looking around to see if I can see Leonard now, but I'm sure it won't be too late. In the upper room, and representatives from all ministries should plan to attend this. There will be repeat training in Clocky on Monday the 1st. It'll be the same material on both nights, so you don't have to go to the two of them. But it is for regulations. It's very important this training is done every year. As I say, the guys that take it try to make it as interesting and as interactive as possible. So please plan to attend that. I've also been asked to announce a mission lunch, which is on the 23rd of September after church here in Grey Abbey. And that's a lunch after church, which the money will go towards our global mission. There'll be more talk of that near the time. But if you want, you can keep that date free. It's the 23rd of September here in Grey Abbey. Also, Solid Rock and Solid Ground are both running on Tuesday and Wednesday in Grey Abbey and Clocky. So if you're out and about and you want to call in, please avail of that. I'm just working down through the list here again. Also, Regen has started this morning for kids from year 8 to about year 14. And they're having a social for Regen tonight at 7 to 9 in the youth room. So if you've anybody you'd like to invite to that, please do. And also in the back of that, K4C. I've been asked to make a wee announcement here for K4C. There will be consent forms today. There's an announcement in your announcements here, but just in case you don't have this. With starting the new year in K4C, consent forms must be filled in and returned upon collection of your child from K4C today. There will be a registration desk in the foyer of the church halls immediately following the service. Also, a wee announcement about up until November, we'll be forgoing our weekly collection in K4C and instead collecting towards a shoebox appeal. Can anyone who has a spare shoebox please send them in with your child to K4C? Or you can give them to a K4C leader, leave them in the storeroom behind Solid Ground or the foyer in Clocky. There you go. And also, another wee announcement here from the Friends of the Abbey. I've been asked to thank the catering team for providing the barbecue at the Living History Day on Monday past. which was a great success, I believe, and there was over 300 visitors on the day, so been asked just to pass on that thanks from the Friends of the Abbey. And then next Saturday as well is the Mourne Walk, so anybody who has their name down for the Mourne Walk, be here sharp 10 a.m. And apparently if you're on time, you're late from what I'm told, so be here at 5:02, I think it is. And that's next Saturday. And also, if you're thinking I would love to go to that, you can still get your name down. So, yeah, you can still. I'll speak to Sandra. She's the contact for that. And also, just a wee quick announcement. If you're looking at this announcements, the announcements in the bottom about the rotas, if you're panicking, thinking you should be somewhere today, there's been a wee bit of a mix-up in the rotas. So if you haven't been contacted or if you're thinking I should be in solid ground today, there's been a wee mix-up. So just bear with the guys doing the announcements. It'll be sorted out for next week. I'll say if you're not there, somebody else will be filling in for you. Don't worry. It'll be okay. I've just one more announcement, or Diana's one more announcement. Oh, here we go. Well, as they started the church year, there's quite a few announcements. So it does take a wee while to get through. But anything you're not sure of, just ask any of the elders or myself after the service.
Okay, I believe that, I think in the incoming year, next year, PW in Gray Abbey will be 65 years old. And Paul reminds us to give thanks for those who have been faithful in the past, for those who have been who've wavered, prompted by love, and for their endurance inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do give thanks for all the work that has been done over the years. But we really feel on committee God is saying this is a new season. In some ways, like this time last September, as we came together with the ladies from Clocky, that was a bit of a change. But we really feel God saying now, this is a time for a new season. And I believe that he has given us a new name, Wings, which is woman in God's sight. Because as a committee, we believe, well, God has everybody in his sight. And I was speaking to Michelle last week, and she said, yeah, but do you know, in Genesis chapter 16, Hagar, who was a woman who had no friends, who was in a desert place, the angel of the Lord came beside her. And it records in the Bible where Hagar gave the Lord a name. She said, the Lord has seen me. So, you know, no matter where you are, no matter how desolate you feel, God sees us. And so we invite every woman, no matter whether you have been involved with PW in the past or not, we invite you to come along to our meetings. We realize for some women that it's impossible for you to get to all meetings. And we actually recognize as well that within our church, there's a lot happening for women. And we really just want women to dip in. And some of the words that God has given us, and I really do feel that God has given us, and we're still unraveling what he means by them, are the words connect and unite and equip. And we feel that God is saying that he wants us to be connected and unite it with each other and to help each other be equipped in God. But we're in a horizontal way. But we also believe that God is saying that he wants us to connect and unite with him and be equipped so that we can be the woman that he wants us to be in his service and to build up his kingdom. So we're inviting you to come along. We're still going to be working under the PW Austin, affiliated to the PW. There's going to be some changes to our constitution that you'll find out over the time. So there's some changes, but we are still working with the PW. But we just want people to know that this is not just for women within our congregation, either Gray Abbey or Clocky. This is for women in the community. So if you have your name down in the list, you're welcome to come to any of our meetings. If you haven't your name down in the list, you're still welcome to come to the meetings. And if you meet somebody on the road and invite them and they can come, they're welcome. We might panic in the background about numbers, but we'll make it work. We have a policy, don't keep seats, but we have a promise that we will find you a seat when you get there. So really, we just want to welcome people along of all generations. And we realised in committee that none of us were in our 20s or 30s anymore. So we have co-opted Roberta Beattie and Caroline McMaster down in Clocky to come on as fresh eyes, new younger eyes, so that we can maybe tap into what younger women are looking for as well. You've got flyers this morning on the way in. We start with the luncheon Tuesday at 12 noon. And then our first meeting is actually in the second Tuesday of the month. Normally we meet still in the third Tuesday evenings, but because of booking, we're meeting on Tuesday the 11th of September. We're going to the cinema. The coach is starting in Killochy, so some of the ladies will be getting there, and then we will get on here. And we're heading to the Chidder Cinema in Cumber to see The Case for Christ, a film based on a journalist, a real-life story, a journalist who didn't get that Jesus existed, and then whenever he starts to draw together his evidence. So we just really pray that you will join us, that as we unfold what the wings means, does it mean that sometimes God's going to be take us under his wings and give us refuge, or sometimes we pray that he's going to build us up and that we're going to soar like eagles. So we welcome each of you to come along.
Thank you, Dan. Just listen to that. It's all very obvious that women are so much better at organizing things than men. So, so might be a wee message in that for us. So we're all here this morning to worship God. And I'd just like to open the service by with a few verses from the Psalms. Psalms 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Let us pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, thank you for this new day. At the start of this new month, you have freely given us. May we use it in your honour and a way pleasing to you, Lord. Thank you for everyone hearing this prayer this morning. May their minds be stilled from their busy lives and routines, and their hearts be open to what you have to say to them during the service today, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of prayer. Thank you for both the 24 hours of prayer here held yesterday and the 12 hours in Killochy. May all those attended, helped, or organized feel truly blessed for being involved in such a powerful thing that is the power of prayer. Thank you for the new church here, Lord, as all the different organizations prepare to start for another season. Please be with those who give up their time to make these organizations run. Please be with those who come to the different organizations. May they feel welcomed and refreshed by coming. And if they don't already know you personally, Lord, may the seed be sown to know you, to know more about you. We also come before you this morning, Lord, to say sorry for the times in the last week when we haven't made the right decisions in our lives. Please help us, Lord, and show us what your will is for us in the days and the weeks ahead. Help us to walk closer to your way in the week ahead. Please, Lord, as we bow our heads this morning, help us to know of your presence and your grace, Lord. Please give us the confidence that can only come from knowing you as our Heavenly Father, from knowing that your name is the name above all names, the beginning and the end. It is only by your grace, which has been so freely given, that we can live our lives as your chosen people. Please be with us and guide us as we ask these things in your Son's holy name. Amen.
Thank you, Noel, for leading the service this morning. And I just want to add my personal thanks to everyone who was involved in our 12 and 24 hours of prayer. And I trust you'll see that there's a little bit still around. Have a look if you haven't had the chance to get out to either the 12 or 24 hours in Killochy or Great Abbey. Please do that. We're going to turn to God's Word now as we find it, excuse me, in 1 Peter chapter 4. Wasn't the passage that I had planned for today, sort of a vision Sunday, looking into where God wants us to be as individuals, as a congregation, where he has placed us. And it certainly has been revealed to me that listening to God is better than listening to yourself, because we had a lovely morning this morning in Killochy, and we trust that God will continue to bless us as we look at his word together in 1 Peter chapter 4, reading the first 11 verses. This is God's word. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They think it strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to men in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Amen. And we do ask God to bless the reading of his word to us. Lord, as we pray, we do think specifically today about Mark and Caroline Welsh as well. Former members of this congregation, in one sense, the former minister and the minister's wife of this congregation. And as we support them financially, Lord, we do continue to pray for them. We thank you for the time that they have had over the summer to be with friends and family. And now that they have returned, Lord, we do pray that those changes that they are now facing, the different type of mission that is in front of them, that you would help them to mold and adapt to be what you need them to be in that place. So bless them as well, Lord. We pray for Kelsey and for her family, for her mum and dad, and for her sister and brother, and for the extended family, Lord, as they say goodbye in these next few days. And we do trust, Lord, that you would be especially close to Kelsey. While we step out, we realize today, Lord, there is an element of faith. Kelsey knows where she's stepping onto a plane. She knows where she's stepping off from a plane. And you know, Lord, where the rest of that journey will go. So, Lord, give her the confidence that you are going with her and ahead of her, preparing a way for her to help people know who you are through the written word. So, Lord, we thank you for this time together. We ask for your blessings in the name that is above all names, the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I don't know if you've ever met someone who has a real attitude problem. Few wee smiles and laughs around the place. Someone who is a bit of a cheeky, kind of a know-it-all, maybe rude or offensive, offhand comments all the time. You just know they have a real attitude problem. Maybe you've been the person who's told that you've got an attitude problem. But these types of attitudes that we are thinking about are noticeable because we actively engage with people who act this way, so we can see these things very, very clearly. But there are also more passive attitude problems. People who are quite casual, and it's not that they're in your face, they're just not in the thing at all, whether it's work. They're a bit nonchalant. They just can't be bothered. They're maybe a little bit dismissive. Passive, but still noticeable. But there are then attitude problems that are passive. There is an attitude problem that is passive and virtually undetectable to the human eye. It's an attitude problem that can be found and affects Christians. We think of a person who is a Christian, who looks and sounds, whatever you look like a Christian, I don't know what that is, but anyway, you know what I mean. Sounds like a Christian. Someone who does and says all those right Christian things, but they have a problem. And we'll find that problem as we look at God's word together. If you haven't got your Bible open, I encourage you to do that now as we look at what it means to have a true serving attitude. In verses 1 and 2 of 1 Peter chapter 4, we are told that our attitude should be one living for the will of God, not living for earthly or evil desires. And if you remember last week, or if you don't remember last week and you weren't here, you can find that sermon online, but we were looking at Ephesians chapter 4, talking about taking off the old self and putting on a new self, and that was a process. Some Christians have an attitude problem in that they're holding on to some of the old self and not putting on as much of the new self as they could be or should be. It's a problem for us all, let's face it. We're all not as good as we should be or could be. But we're talking here about our attitude to that process. What is our attitude to the will of God versus our attitude to the earthly desires? Verse 3 lists some earthly desires. You've spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. And I trust for all of the believers who are here this morning and are going, well, I'm not involved in any of that, so I must be all right. Don't be fooled by this list of fairly obvious worldly desires. Any desire that you have, or any desire for anything that is not from God or of God, or anything that you're doing that's not God working through you, is a desire of the world, not a desire of God. And don't get confused either by the first part of the passage that seems to say that if we're going to live for God, that it's always going to mean suffering. It's not that either. Not everything from God or everything that we do for God is a torture. I want to take you into an illustration this morning to help us think about how not everything that we do for God is a torture, but to help us understand that sometimes the things that we start to do change. So for example, at work or in your sports team or at your school, there's a group of people that you know, many of whom, or maybe all of them, are not Christians, but they've invited you to go along and have a meal with them. So you know where you're going, you know the restaurant, you know it's a lovely restaurant, and you go in and you sit down, no suffering yet. You get out the menu and you have a look and you choose, and then the plate comes out and there's a lovely big piece of steak on there. Nice big stack of tobacco onions on top. Little boat on the side filled with pepper sauce. Lovely creamy potatoes on the side. This is not suffering for the Lord. But God has sent you there. It's not suffering. The crack's good. The banter's good. Chatting away. It's a really good night. You're there as a Christian with these people. You may say some things about church, or you may not say some things about your faith. But you're there sharing with them in their lives. You're interested in them. I have been in that situation a number of times, and this is how it sometimes goes. Your non-Christian friends are having a glass of wine or drinking beer. Nothing wrong with that. Until you get to the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh. And then the effects of the alcohol start to change the effects of the person. And then the food is over and the conversation is changing, and you might find yourself then getting into a situation where you're hearing evil. The conversation and the banter changes. Then the whole thing's over, the bill is paid, and there's a decision, right, where are we moving on to now? The rest of this night is not really about having food or having conversations about where are we going for the more drink, or where are we going for the word here in the passage is carousing. That means full party mode. Where are we hitting off to next? Where are we going next? And this is the point where the Christian attitude really matters. This is the point in time where you have to really seek the Lord. Is this God's will the rest of this night? Or is this my human desire? What am I taking off and what am I now putting on? Where am I at in this process? I would say that there are a small number of occasions for a small number of people Christian people that God calls to follow on into that type of night, into that type of revelry. It takes tremendous spiritual strength to continue to stand in those circumstances. Why do I say that? Why have I come to that conclusion? I think generally for the majority of us, God wants us to step back. At that point, he wants us to say, listen, folks, it's been a great night, good crack. Look, I'm going on. I wish you well. Every blessing. Keep safe. And head home. Why? Because of verse 4. We look at verse 4 and it says, people think it strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation and they heap abuse on you. God does not expect us wholesale, normal Christian living, to go into that type of life. Plunging into that type of life for a non-Christian affirms that behavior. Sure, you're here. Sure, you're here with us. Doesn't matter what you're doing or what you're not doing, but you're there with them. And they will see that as some kind of affirmation of their life. They don't see the problem in that type of life that we are called to take off and change to something else, because they can't see God. They're not walking with God. They're not seeking God. They are stuck wholesale, completely living for earthly desires. And they will think it strange, and that will even change. Sometimes they will not even think you strange, as the passage says in verse 4. They will heap abuse on you. As we would say in Northern Ireland, start slagging you. Oh, party pooper. Oh, what's wrong with me? Come on ahead, big man. Sure, what harm is it? Blah, 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 blah. And they start putting pressure and heaping abuse on you for being different. Then you can find that the friends that you were sharing the meal with and having the fun with, they're now the people who are not bantering with you, but they're giving you abuse now. That nominal acceptance of who you are and the God that you serve is now replaced with abuse. And for the young folk in our congregation, our teenagers and our young adults, sometimes in life as parents and as elders, and I don't mean the ordained elders, as the elders of this congregation, the matriarchs, the patriarchs, those of us who've been walking with the Lord a long time, we know there's times we're going to have to stand back and allow you to experience things in life, and that's how you will learn. But we would say to you this morning, learn from our experiences. Learn from our mistakes. You do not want to find yourself in those situations when you are not in the Spirit, when you are not serving God. Do not let yourself be dragged. Do not find yourself being plunged into this environment. Living for Jesus means stepping back. It means not going into every situation in the world. God calls us to various places all around the world in various situations. But there are places where he's very clear that we shouldn't go. There's a response to that as well. And when you go home, you want to read the rest of chapter 4, verses 12 down through to 19. It's titled here in my Bible, Suffering for Being a Christian. At the start of that passage, Peter says, don't think it's strange that you suffer for a Christian. People who are not Christians are led by Satan, and Satan tells them to persecute you in various different ways. But we are to rejoice in the fact that we bear the name of Jesus Christ in the world. And yes, we will suffer from time to time. But God is with us. God is with us when we suffer in this world. And if we can get our heads out of that temporary suffering and think to the eternal consequences of how we live and how we don't live. Verse 17 says, a time for judgment is going to begin. It will begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, he's not referring here to Christians who get things wrong. He is referring here to people who live rejecting Jesus, who are fully immersed in the world, happy in the world, living for earthly desires. What will be the outcome for those who live not with a serving attitude, but with a self attitude? Back in verse 5, at the start, it says, they will have to give an account to him who is ready to judge the living. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus talks about his coming to judge in a number of different passages. Three of them are kind of my favorites, so the ones that I can remember the most: the sheep and the goats, the parable of the talents, which was the passage that I thought I was going to preach on today. And we will use a verse of that to finish off today. There's also then the tree and its fruit. But just to make sure we know what we're talking about here in regards to verse 5, I've gleaned some bits and pieces from those three scriptures in Matthew. Jesus talks about he is going to return and judge all people. And some people will say, "Lord, Lord, do we not do this and that for you?" And he will say to them plainly, "Away from me, for I did not know you. Away from me, you evil knowers, for I never knew you." Away where? Where is Jesus saying that you are going to? Well, he explains and describes in these three passages a place of eternity, a dark eternity, a fiery eternity, an eternity of punishment where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. He says this is a place that was assigned for Satan and his angels. But that is also the place for Satan's family. And if you're here this morning and you are not God's child, you are Satan's child. And should that judgment happen before this service ends, you will spend eternity in Satan's destination. And don't think that you can read on to verse 6 and go, "Well, sure, I can live my life whatever way I want," because it says here that the gospel will be preached to those who are now dead. There is no gospel opportunity when life is over. This verse, it was written in a context when the first generation of people who turned to Jesus and those people who were there and saw him ascending on high, and then the disciples went out and made other disciples, they all expected Jesus to return before their time was up. They didn't think Jesus was going to be away for 2,000 years and counting. So they wondered what was going to happen to those people who had given their life to God, but they have now died and Jesus has not come back. What's going to happen to them, those people who are now dead? Well, the gospel was preached to them. They turned to Jesus. Paul writes in Thessalonians about Christ's return. He says that the souls of those who have fallen asleep will return with Jesus. So when the trumpet of the Lord sounds, when he comes back, he is going to bring the souls of those who are dead in the body, who have died in the body, according to the sin of Adam and Eve. All of us in this room will one day die. Christians and non-Christians. But for those of us who know and love the Lord, we die in the body, but we are alive with Christ in the Spirit, with God, ready for that return, that day of judgment. Is your attitude towards Jesus Christ today? Let me read a couple of verses that will explain to you his attitude towards you. Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing. He took on the nature of a servant. He was made in human likeness. He was found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself. He became obedient to death, even death on a cross for you. He died for your sin. He gave his all for you. He died so that you could live eternally with him. So as you live your life to please yourself, you are passively rejecting what Jesus has done for you. Continuously, every moment of every day, every decision is saying to Jesus, "I don't care what you've done for me. I'm living for myself." And this is a strange situation that we find ourselves in. Because I'm sure every one of us in this room, if we were faced with a situation where we've discovered that someone has done something really nice for us, something that we didn't ask, something that we didn't expect, our first response when we see that person is to say, three people would say, "Thank you." We would say thank you, wouldn't we? Now, could you imagine this situation? Someone has done something really nice for you, and you go, I'll slip a wee thank you unto that person sometime before I die. We wouldn't do it, would we? We say thank you immediately. If you're here this morning and you've not said thank you to Jesus for what he has done for you, we encourage you to do that today. I will be here after the service. The elders will be here after the service. The prayer ministry team will be here after the service. Anyone who is a Christian, who you know is a Christian, they will speak to you about this. Say thank you to Jesus today, because you do not know when he's returning. None of us does. We might not get the last hymn. I cut the second hymn out today because of time. We might not get to the last hymn because of God's timing today. You might not get to your bed tonight because of God's timing on your life. That's why Paul writes, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Have an attitude to thank Jesus, to turn to Jesus. And when you have that attitude, what does that look like? Paul, writing to the Philippian church in that passage, chapter 2, he says we should be united with Christ. As believers, we should be united in the Spirit. We should have no selfish ambition. We should be putting other people first. Our attitude should be the same as Jesus Christ, to serve other people. And that brings us to the core verse that I wanted to just spend a little moment looking at this morning. In verse 10, Ephesians chapter 4. Each person should use whatever gift they have received to serve others, faithfully administering grace in its various forms. Our attitude should be to be administrators of God's grace. Administrators. As a Christian, you are an administrator of God's grace. We should do this, according to verses 7 and 8, in a clear-minded way, in a self-controlled way, in a prayerful way, loving people deeply, being hospitable, and not grumbling. Or as we would say in Northern Ireland, no girning. Our attitude should be to serve God with words. In verse 11, the words that God has given us, using the strength that he provides. When we serve people in this way, that brings glory to God. It reveals Jesus Christ to people who need to know him. And this is a statement of fact. This is not just a suggestion. Each person should use the gifts that they have received. There's no question about this. As a believer, you have gifts. You should be using them to serve in the community, wherever that takes you, to serve in your families, to serve in this congregation. We always have this little bit of a debate. What's more important, serving in the church or serving in the community? Which comes first? Which is better? The simple truth is this. Serving the Lord in the community or in your workplaces or in your homes and schools should be an intertwined reflection of both. There should be continuity in our witness. Our attitude to serve in the church should be the same as our attitude to serve outside the church. But of course, which comes first, the chicken or the egg in these things? We can debate this round all day long. But I work here and you pay my wages, so this is very important that you serve here. Or I'll be out in the street. Or we're just going to have to go back to work and I'll have to be a kept man again. It is important, folks, that we serve in the church. This building is a building, and if it was disappeared tomorrow, there might be another building here. But the church, you folk who are here this morning, if you're not here this morning, you're maybe listening to this recording. You are the church. But we gather, God calls us to meet together in places, and now we build buildings and we meet in them. So the church is this building. We're in the corner of this village. The witness and the serving in this place is so important. We come here to worship God. We come here to be filled up by the Spirit, to be recharged so that we can go out and serve. I don't know how I could serve the Lord if I wasn't at worship on a weekly basis. So it's important that we're here to worship. It's important then, as we are gifted, to take opportunities to serve in the ministries here on a Sunday and during the week. This little diagram here represents the activity of this congregation. and you can't really read it from there. But there are basically only two red dots in the bottom left-hand corner that are additional dots because of the work in Clocky. So, for example, Solid Rock Cafe is in there, and the Girls Brigade is in there. And up in the green one where it says worship, there's a GR and a CL, so we worship in two places. There's a couple of other places where K4C, for example, meets. So some of these are doubled up. But if we were not operating in Clocky and just Grey Abbey, there were basically, this is the same drawing with two red dots less. Every one of those dots has a ministry with someone leading it, with people serving in it, people seeking God, trying to bring this whole thing together. God at the center of all that we do. And I would say every one of these ministries, every one of these organizations would take another helper if they were getting one. You see, our ability to serve, our calling to serve, is not limited by the number of people serving in a ministry. If a ministry only has two people serving in it that God has gifted, that's fine. But if six or seven more people join the congregation, then that ministry has now 8, 9, or 10 people serving in it. So please do not sit here and go, well, we see lots of people going out with K4C. They're doing a great job. The more people who are involved in that ministry particularly means that the people who are serving there have more opportunities to sit in here throughout the whole service on an annual basis. We have youth ministries that need people to serve. Our Fusion Youth Club, 50, 60, what was the average, Terry, last year? 55 young people. On a Friday night, in our halls, in our buildings, a number of people seeking just to draw alongside them, build relationships with them, many of them from a non-church background. We need more people to join that work, to show these young people love that they've maybe never felt before, to help build bridges from youth club to regen, where our regen team will help to disciple those young people, help to evangelize those young people. Our music ministry. Our music ministry here has been blessed over the years. And I want to be careful what I say this morning, because two of the people that I had meant to mention are now sitting here. I prayed to the Lord. I said, Lord, we need more people in music. We're going to a mission down in Clocky. We need more people in music. And within a fortnight, one took a job in Oban teaching. The other one took a job that takes him away from here. He's just back visiting. So God took away all of my musicians. But we know there are those of you with musical talents. We're thankful for their ministry when they return. And we could stand here and sing to God in a very powerful way with no music. Our forefathers did that for generations. But what a blessing it is to have stringed instruments and wind instruments and percussion instruments playing. We are a congregation with great activity. Oh, sorry, before I move on. Glenn will just put the whole screen off if I don't mention our PowerPoint team. We're so thankful for this work. Currently, we have only two people doing this every week. You may think, oh, I could never put all of those things up there. If you can copy and paste on a Word document, Glenn could spend 10 minutes with you and you would know how to copy and paste all of the hymns with the order of service in front of you and put them in an order and get them onto the computer. If you have any computer skills at all, you could help with PowerPoint. If that's something that you think you would like to help with, then please speak to Glenn. Our BB company section. We need men. Not that women can't serve in the company section, but we have a number and a growing number of young men who need Christian men to draw alongside them in these formative years. That's not taking away from the parents of those young fellas. I am a parent of those young fellas. But as a BB officer, I know that BB officers can get more out of those young fellas than the parents can. It's an important ministry. Speak to Ronald or myself if you think that's something that you would like to help out with. We are a congregation with great activity. But what is the measure of our productivity in the community? Are we making disciples? Are we having those conversations? Are we getting opportunities to invite people into our halls for various events? Are we having opportunities to invite people to come to worship. There's something that gets repeated to me over and over again about this place and about where we worship in Clochy. People who come in with no faith say, that's lovely, there's something special about that. It's the Holy Spirit of God, folks. We pray for and expect the Holy Spirit to be here, and the Holy Spirit affects people who come into this building and into the building in Clochy. Are you taking opportunities to invite people to go for a walk in the mornings? Later on in the year, are you going to invite somebody to go for a skate or a game of bowling? They're not going to win the bowling because George always wins that. He has no grace to let anybody else win. Are you taking opportunities to invite people? I think at harvest time, we're having a, what's it called, Paddy? A hoolie, a harvest hoolie, a harvest hoedown. Out in a farm, in a barn. Are you going to invite people to come and share as we have fun and have joy together? Men and women of the congregation, are you going to invite people to the women's ministry events, to the cinema, to the things that they're doing? Men, we're planning to go out on a couple of events and have a speaker later on in the year. A curry night. There'll be burgers there for you that don't like curries. Are you, men and women of the Lord, going to invite people to those events? Are you going to take opportunities to invite people who maybe would feel uncomfortable coming in here? Come and sit on solid ground and just to get a taste and experience of what church is like here in Grey Abbey in this day. Their experience might be 20, 30, 40 years old. We have a mission team that we are reinventing and we're a new structure. Have you got the gifts and the passion to think about mission locally and globally? Speak to me or to Colin and Sarah Kage. We're not a congregation that just wants to get bums on seats. We want people to meet Jesus. So when you come in and put your bum on a seat, you're filled up to go out into the community. Bring people in here for worship. Followers of Jesus Christ, God has gifted you to serve as administrators of His saving grace. His saving grace. Administering that grace to your friends and your family, your neighbors, your school friends, etc. People who are plunged deep into worldly, self-centered, Christ-rejecting lives. Lives that are leading them to a lost eternity. Our attitude should be to show them another way to live. It requires putting God first. Speaking the words that He has given us. Using the strength that He provides. Yes, this may mean you don't get to do everything that you want to do. Paul writes, our bodies are living sacrifices. This is our spiritual or our reasonable act of worship. It will be tough. There may be rejection. We may have trouble. We may even suffer. But fellow believer, our journey from the moment we are saved to the moment that we leave the scene of time or until Jesus returns, our motivation, my motivating verse that I want to share with you, and that is our motivation, our motivational verse from Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. It is from the parable of the talents. Well done, good and faithful servant, come and share your master's happiness. Our serving attitude leads to this interaction with Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. I trust that today, for those who know and love the Lord, you've had an attitude adjustment. We all need it. Our attitude is one of service. And if you do not know Jesus Christ, then speak to us today. Speak to us today. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you and we praise you for who you are and what you're doing. We thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, that it would be a powerful weapon applied to each of us today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. To those who will reign eternally with our Savior Jesus Christ, and to those who do not yet know Him, we pray peace. We pray blessing from Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.